What's up, everybody? Finally, we had a little bit of technical difficulties here, but finally, we are live with the ATL Sports HQ live show, the show for the fans, by the fans. This is episode 5. My name is Bob Lancaster. You can follow me on social media at Bowling Bob.
I'm ATL Phil. I'm Phil. You can follow me at _ATL Phil. I promise y'all I'll be back next week.
I'm Derek Clemens. You can follow me on Twitter at @DClemens.
I'm Tushar Patel. You can follow me at TusharPatel87.
Right on. You can follow the site at atlsportshq.com and ATL Sports HQ on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And man, we got some huge news this week. You can now find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, pretty much every single major podcast site. We are live as of today, so you can go back and watch the first 4 shows, and we will definitely be uploading our new shows weekly, so check us out on there. But let's get right into the Atlanta United. Phil, man, give us a current in-game update.
Yeah, so right now we are in the 64th minute. It is 0-0. Zero zero is very, 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 very good right now. New York has about 26 minutes to score 3 goals. So, yeah, we're looking pretty good.
It's always nice to have a defensive battle when, you know, the other team has to at least score 3. So
Atlanta's not even looking to score. They're just looking to defend.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Why don't you give us a rundown of the great first leg and how important not allowing a road goal was?
Yeah, the first leg, absolutely. You couldn't have written a better script for how Atlanta performed in first leg. Absolute dominant 3-0 win. Now, if you remember, New York Red Bulls are the team we have struggled with since Atlanta's inception. We had never beat them in our history. You know, they
dominated.
They really dominated us in both matches this year. So to come out and to hold them to 0 goals when away goals are the tiebreaker, to come out and just dominate them and to get that late third goal really is what probably pushed it out of reach for New York. Getting that third goal at the end completely changed the dynamic of the game we're watching right now.
You know, one thing that was great, you know, to watch when that of that match was the, you know, turning it into essentially a home field advantage for us. Man, the crowd just seemed to be, you know, completely into it. The stadium was packed to the brim. It was just went to show just how great, you know, that Atlanta has taken to the soccer team. And so it's huge. So
the atmosphere was incredible. I can't wait, barring absolute disaster here. I can't wait for the atmosphere on December 8th. That's probably going to be the best sporting event I've been to in my life.
That's not going to happen. I've seen a lot of stuff happen in Atlanta sports. Even I'm feeling confident about this one. So I just think, again, that you put it good. The third goal, I thought, was what we needed to, you know, really push us over the edge. And so you would really have to completely just fall down to allow, you know, New York to win this, win the second leg in the overall. So, yeah. But Phil's going to give us updates. If anything happens throughout things, we'll probably have a final by the time we're done with the show. So if he jumps in,
final in about 25 minutes.
Yeah, and if you see him jumping up and down and get excited, that's got to mean good things for us. So, but let's move into the Georgia Bulldogs now. Georgia gave Georgia Tech a beatdown 45-21 and now set their sights to a huge SEC championship matchup in Atlanta against number 1 Alabama. What was the key to handling the rivalry business against Tech, Derek?
I mean, we just play perfect. I mean, we just play how we should play against a team like that. I think Kirby gave Paul Johnson a little retiring gift and didn't run up the score on him. Because, I mean, that the score should have been a higher game than that, and we let off the gas. But, I mean, the run was there. The defense played amazing and stopped that triple option. They couldn't get a lot on the rushing game. They had to throw it a couple of times, too, especially at the end. But, I mean – we just played a complete game and played how we should going into this Alabama game.
Tushar, what do you think the key was, man?
Yeah, like you said, we just started fast and we just kept going. And then we backed up in the second half. I think we could have blew them out even more if we wanted to, but.
Yeah, because it was like they racked up like, what, 30 in like, you know, near the first half. You know, it was very, very unlike Kirby not to really go for a little bit more, I thought, in this game. So, but yeah,
he gave him that little present, that early retirement present.
So, what do you think the key was, man?
Yeah, Georgia was doing absolutely whatever they wanted. Tech couldn't do anything. We pretty much couldn't get past our line of scrimmage. Honestly, 45-21. Looks a lot nicer than what the game really was. Georgia could have put up 70. One of those touchdowns was an early kickoff return. So really, it was ugly, and it put Paul Johnson over the edge, apparently.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I saw that you know, in the few years that I've watched that rivalry game was that it seemed for the first time that. Georgia just had answers for the triple option. And you know, they never took away the outside edges. And so Georgia Tech was never able to, you know, to even start running until the fourth quarter, you know, when it was already way out of hand. But it was just, you know, very nice to see it not even be close, no drama whatsoever, exactly the game that Georgia needed to have, you know, before walking into the SEC championship. It's nice to have a little bit of momentum going in for sure. But, you know, because there's been quite a bit of close games, you know, some losses by Georgia since I've lived here. And so I was definitely pleasantly happy to see the triple option just be non-effective. I'm not a fan of the triple option. You know, it's one of the reasons why I'm glad that, you know, Paul Johnson is retiring, and I'm hoping that they don't bring in another triple option guy. But for the players that Tech currently has on their roster, then guys got to be a little bit scared, especially the quarterback. But so what does Georgia need to do to beat Alabama and win the SEC championship, Tushar?
I think they have to put pressure on Tua, and then hope the DBs could hold up against wide receivers, playing one-on-one, because you're going to put pressure on the quarterback, because you're going to make him uncomfortable. Hopefully it throws some interceptions.
Do you think that if Tua struggles, that we might see a reverse swap and he brings in Hurts?
No, I don't think so. We've seen Hurts play Georgia last year, and he didn't have a good game.
So yeah.
I don't think he would do the reverse.
All right, Phil, what does Georgia need to do to beat Alabama and win this championship?
Pray to God. Outside of that, I really can't see much. Alabama's way better than they were last year. Georgia is not as good as they were last year. It's going to take a near-perfect game on both sides of the ball. You're going to need some lucky breaks. You're going to need, like, a kickoff return. You're going to need, like, a fumble from Alabama. You're going to need a number of dominoes to fall in your favor in order to even be within shouting distance in this game. I can't see it being closer than about maybe 35-21. 21, it might be giving a lot to Georgia. It might be a little lower on both ends, maybe more like 28-14. But I can't see any reasonable way to believe that Georgia has an actual shot. But I'd like to be wrong, because you know me. I'm not like those typical fans where I love one, hate the other. I want to see any team that we cover in our area do good.
I think it'd be
what close. What's that?
I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the early odds were, I think the beginning was Alabama 12.5. Right now it's Alabama 10.5. And I think that you know, I'm willing to bet my money that that Georgia can cover the 10.5. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either. But Derek, what do you think they got to do?
The most important thing, there's two key things. Jake Fromm has to have an amazing game. He has to play one of his best games if we want to even have a chance. And then the second big thing, like Tushar said, the DBs, the coverage has to be nearly perfect. You can't let Tua get comfortable, like he said, because if he gets comfortable and you see that look downfield, it's going to be over fast. I mean, and the DBs have played well this season, but they're still young, and they're going to lean on Baker. He's going to have an amazing game, and hopefully the attention that he takes off of that wide receiver on that side can force Tua to make decisions that we are able to pick off and find and stop it. But we're definitely going to have very good defense from the secondary. And then, I mean, we have to establish the running game, but we can't solely rely on it. It's hard to make that big running impact against Alabama's defense. So that passing game definitely has to be A1. And I mean, Jaquan needs to be playing the most, obviously. But I think it's time to throw in some of them field sets that they have. And I know they do have some of them circuit sets that he's going to run. And I think I think Kirby has something up his sleeve. And I think it's finally time. I think what Nick Saban 15-0 against his former assistant. I think it's time to end that little streak. Go ahead and win.
Little. That's not little.
It's going to be little. You know, Kirby,
for me, there's three keys. A, establish the run game. If we don't establish the run game, we have 0-0-0 chance, because if Fromm's having to pass all game long, we're done. I mean, so if the run game can't get established, you know, we're just, you know, that really gets the Bulldogs there, you know, gets them flowing and gets them moving and stuff, you know. And so if that's taken out of context, you know, or taken out of the game, then, you know, like I said, we saw what happened against LSU when Fromm was forced to throw more than he needs to be. So that one was big to me. The other thing is, you know, not to get down in the game quickly. You know, if Bama puts up 14 points really quick and we go down 14-0, you know, Tua has become a game manager this year as well. I mean, playing up to the three quarters that he plays a game, but, you know, but he has done a really good job of game management too. And with their defense, I just don't see any way that if you start getting down 14 or 21, that there's any way of coming back. But one benefit though this year that we didn't have last year is seems to be a backup quarterback on our side to play scout, you know, for this week in practice that could mimic, you know, the speed of Tua and stuff like that. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, if they use him on scout team this week, you know, have your DBs chasing him around a little bit just to get a feel of, you know, how Tua might be out of the pocket and stuff. Because I tend to think they're very similar quarterbacks. So, you know, that's going to help us a lot. So, but yeah, that's the three big keys to me though, for sure. So, but let's,
find some flaws in Tua's game. I know he got some somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, flaw number one, how's that knee? I mean, you know, he hasn't really played a team yet since the knee's been hurt. And so, you know, it'd be interesting to see how that, if that plays into it. Like I said, you know, we don't really know how serious it is. You know, I know he's been playing with a brace, so
it's got to be. He actually took the brace off. He didn't play with it last week.
Last game.
And I think this game, this game coming up, he's not going to play with it all.
Yeah, it's too restrictive for a runner. Those braces are hard when you're a mobile quarterback. So, you know, as evident by Matt Ryan this year, you know, our new mobile Matt Ryan. So, okay, Tushar, final score prediction.
I'm going to say
33-30,
Georgia.
And all right,
Phil.
Don't even say. I don't even want to hear this.
38-10, Alabama.
Oh wow.
Derek, final score.
Alabama score.
Man, I hate predicting final scores. I'm gonna give you. We're gonna win by 10 points. I'm gonna throw that. We're winning by 10.
I hate to do it, but I'm gonna go with Phil. I just can't see them being beat. I've said, you know, throughout our four shows before that I don't think this is Georgia's year. I think next year is Georgia's year. So I'm actually going to say, I don't think they're giving up 35. I think it's a lot closer. Now I'm going to say 21-10 Alabama. But one question I didn't get about this, though, that's kind of interesting. If Georgia loses this game by 3 points or less, any chance they can get into the college football playoff, Phil?
I think they should. I'm not a huge fan of penalizing teams for losing a conference championship when some don't even have a conference championship or get in without winning a conference championship. I'm just not a huge fan. I mean, I understand awarding a team for winning a conference championship, but honestly, if Georgia was to really play this hard, I'd keep the four the way it is this week. I wouldn't bolster Ohio State way up in there if they win.
Or Notre Dame, whose season is done, you know? Exactly. They are they don't have a conference, you know, conference championship. So, Derek, you think there's any way? Derek, what the heck?
Yeah, I wasn't even going to correct you. I was just going to let it slide. I was going to let it slide.
This is what's happening when I'm looking at the format sheet instead of seeing what's going on.
I didn't think there would be a chance at first, but then thinking about it, I mean, I think the only actual chance, I mean, obviously, I think that Georgia is the better team than Oklahoma and Ohio State and Notre Dame for sure. Mm-hmm. But from the committee standpoint,
there's an own goal. Oh my goodness!
Did they just
breaking update? Just a second, Phil. Tell us what happened.
Looks like loose ball deflection. Might have been off a player, Alpha and Atlanta player, into the back of the net.
So did the Red Bull score?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's 3-1.
3-1. It looks like it actually went off his Zan's hand into it. It was a weird play, but 3-1.
Okay, Derek, back to you, man. Back to what you're finished saying there.
They gonna get it done, but back to what I say now. If Ohio State loses their conference championship and then Oklahoma loses their conference championship, what do you do then? You can't move Michigan up for not playing anything, and you can't penalize Georgia for making it to their conference championship and losing by a few points to the best team in the country. So, and then the only other team is left is UCF. You're going to put them in over Georgia? I don't see that happening. So, I mean, there's a chance, but I don't want that chance to happen because the chances of Oklahoma and Ohio State both losing are very slim. So, I mean, we just got to handle business so we can make our own destiny and get into the playoffs and have a chance. Now, the thing about it, though, what do you guys think? Do you think that Alabama should be in it if they lose to Georgia? Like,
absolutely.
Goal called off. Still 3-0.
Absolutely. Bama, you know, they do have the win against LSU, who was ranked, I think, 3 at the time. So they will have, you know, they have some quality wins. They played enough of top 25 at the time that they played them to survive, you know. It'll make things mighty, mighty interesting, that's for sure. But I cannot see the football committee keeping them out, especially with the money they bring in to the Final Four and stuff. So, you know, we've discussed that before, but
I think Michigan losing helped that case a lot too. I think it'd have been interesting if Michigan was still in there. But I mean,
you're not taking Ohio State and Oklahoma over Alabama.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And it just sucks that Notre Dame doesn't play a conference game because you can't really say anything. I mean, yeah, they're undefeated. And, I mean, they beat Michigan at the first game of their season. And then after that, I mean, they played a couple late top 25 teams. I mean,
I laid out an idea. What they should have done this week, they should have had UCF play Notre Dame for that last spot. Why not, you know? Tushar, do you think that's okay. Tushar, do you think there's any chance that they can get in if Georgia loses?
Yes, but like, do the committee really want to face Alabama and Georgia again in the semifinal game? That'd be third time
in the playoffs. What could be interesting, though, is that realistically here, you could see Georgia and Alabama play each other again. If this could have if Alabama wins, and like you put it, you said what I was going to say, where, you know, Oklahoma and Ohio State both have to lose for any chance of that to happen. But if they do, you know, then, and Georgia takes that four spot, we could see Bama, Georgia 1-4 immediately again.
That's the worst case. That's the would be the worst case.
Could you imagine having to play Alabama two games in a row?
I mean, because they're not going to drop Alabama to change the matchups. Right.
See, that's why I don't think, I don't think Georgia could have a chance, because I don't think the committee wants to have Georgia Alabama rematch back to back weeks. It's just not good for, well, I'm going to say it's not good for ratings, but I bet if they did play again, they would do monster ratings.
They're going to do crazy ratings.
I just don't see that happening, but yeah, you never know with this committee. They've made some difficult choices. Notre Dame realistically could fall out. I mean, I know that they're undefeated, but you could take Ohio State pushing out Notre Dame, and you know, because they Ohio State does have the better teams that they played against.
Georgia playing Notre Dame, I'm pretty sure that Georgia would blow them out. It would be a good game, and then Clemson and Georgia would be a good game.
Yeah, well, look at what Ohio State did to Michigan. Say they do that again, you know, it's going to be hard to, you know, if Georgia's too
– It's Northwestern. Come on.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenarios for sure. So, but it'll be interesting to see what plays out on Saturday for sure. So, we'll definitely next week have a lot to talk about when it comes to that game for sure. It'll probably be leading off next week for sure. So, but let's go ahead and move on to the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks finally ended the 10-game losing streak, thank God, with wins against the Charlotte Hornets and Miami Heat. The Hawks debuted a new starting lineup of Taurean Prince, John Collins, Dwayne Dedmon, Trae Young, and Kevin Huerter with Bazemore off the bench. What do you think of the new starting lineup, Derek?
I like it. I mean, I think Bazemore brings that spark that the team needs in the scoring. I mean, he can score a will off the bench going against the second unit, and then you can throw him in with this starters in the starter rotation too later on in the game. And I think he just brings a different type of style off the bench. And then he looks more comfortable too.
Definitely, I agree with that. Tushar, what do you think of this new lineup?
Well, I didn't want to say what Derek said, that Kevin Bazemore coming off the bench helps us the second
Yeah, you know, you have Jeremy, you know, him and Jeremy Lin coming off together now. Jeremy Lin, who's just been fantastic in the last two, three-week stretch. You know, that's a lot of points coming off the bench. So, run and gun to me. You know, run and gun is – that's what I see in the start. You know, it's just a lot of running up and down, a lot of fun, good passing. But you know, I agree, you know, with you, Tushar, that, you know, you're getting more points coming off the bench now, as to where that's something that we were just not getting a lot of production whatsoever at all. Even yesterday, I thought the first two quarters we looked really, really good. Kind of really, you know, struggled the second half, I thought. But Phil, what do you think of the new starting lineup?
Yeah, I like it. I think the move of Kent Bazemore to the bench kind of distributes the talent and energy a little bit better. Atlanta all season has really struggled with just imbalances in production. We'd have, you know, good stretches, and then we'd hit just awful dry stretches where we couldn't score for hours, it felt like. But Kent Bazemore, you know, the first few games off the bench, he played great. I mean, he had a dud last night in Charlotte, but you know, that one game, so I'm willing to write that off. I almost would have put, at this point, I might have considered putting Taurean Prince on the bench, or maybe bringing Bembry into the starting lineup. I think that's what I actually proposed like the day before on my good friend Nick Xavier's podcast, I said, you know, let's try to work in Bembry into the starting lineup instead of Bazemore. But, you know, overall, the team, I mean, they're playing a little better. And, you know, there's going to be bad games. There's going to be bad halves, especially on a second night of a road back-to-back last night. But overall, I mean, you got to, you know, it is what it is. We have the worst talent in the league, so we're supposed to be down there. But, you know, they're fighting. They're trying.
I'd rather see a struggle with the young guys out there instead of a struggle with Jeremy Lin and Vince Carter out there. You know, that's not doing us any good. You know, I want these guys to learn together. I'm really glad that, you know, Kevin Huerter is getting a little more minutes. Because that'll give him a chance to find his shot. He's just a little bit off. I noticed yesterday too that, you know, he's just, his 3-point shot especially is just missing a little left every single time. But I've seen him a lot when he gets going, and when he does find that shot, he's gonna be a great outside addition for us. But one thing about Taurean, man, is Taurean, we say this week after week after week after week after week, has got to quit shooting outside. Man, has he been horrible. I just, every week I'm like, why is he out here? Why is he out here? Why is he out here? But one thing I do want to add real quick, though, is I do want to shout out Vince Carter, 25,000 points. How cool was that that happened in a Hawks uniform? So it was a really fun game to watch. I was excited for him. I was glad to see that the young guys that were with him were trying all they could for him to get that 25,000 point, in that game, not to let it go to another, not to go to another game. So, but, it's, again, they've got another tough stretch of games coming up, and it's going to be great for Trey to get to see some of these point guards that he's about to play against, because I've seen the list and stress that he's got to play here pretty soon, and there's some pretty elite talent that he's about to match up with. So, but that's going to be something to watch for sure. But let's cut off to the Atlanta Falcons. Another week, another loss.
Let me interrupt 31 quick.
Oh, breaking news. What now?
Here we are at the 90th minute. Let's see how much extra time they put on.
Probably about 5 minutes, I'm guessing. That's in that usually what it is, about 5 minutes.
But that one goal, I don't know if it heard me. I don't know if y'all heard me when I cut in. It was called back. The ball was in Greg Buzan's hand, and you can't do that.
Nice.
Goal. So it's 0-0.
You're definitely to the point where if they lose this game, the Falcons will be able to not have the worst choke in Atlanta history.
4 minutes of added time. So, I mean, it's over. We can start making
it. All right. So that was the good news. Now back to the bad news. A loss, 31-17, Thanksgiving night to the Saints. 4-7 now, guys, and tied for last place in the division with Tampa Bay. What's left to play for, Phil?
Yeah, you know, mathematically, you're still not out of it. I mean, and I don't know if the Falcons are paying off 92-9 to push this narrative, but I tell you, there's some believers over there. There are definitely some believers over there. They are really trying to sell the narrative that this season is not over. But let's be realistic. This season is over. You're playing for at this point.
7%, I think, when I looked this morning. It's a 7% chance that they make the playoffs.
I thought it was like 5. But honestly, yeah. You got to come out here every week and try to win each and every game, which, I mean, that should be the plan. I don't follow NFL like NBA, but I don't think tanking is a huge problem like in the NBA. We're not going to see like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones sit out as soon as we're mathematically eliminated. You know, we still got some kinks to work out. We still need to be working on this offense. We still, even if we are mathematically eliminated, we need to be going out there trying to develop a rhythm for next season. Getting Calvin Ridley on the same page as everybody else. Getting the OC and on the right page, you know, getting this defense back healthy and back playing well. There's still a lot to see in the final 5 games of this season.
Derek, what's left to play for, man?
I mean, the playoffs is that's over. I'm not worried about it. I mean, really, what's left to play for is go ahead and keep boosting up Matt Ryan and Julio Jones' stats. But no, on a serious note, I mean, it's time to prepare for next year and see what some of these young defensive players, what they're actually going to bring, see who we need to keep, who we need to, like KZ, I mean, he needs to be on the field majority of the time next year. I mean, he's been amazing. But yeah, it's time to figure out what we're going to do. And I don't know. It's just, this season's over. It's time to prepare for the next one.
Tushar, what do you think, man? What's left to play for?
Unfortunately, it's the draft, because we're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, we really have to win out here on out. But what's sad thing about it is Matt Ryan is leading the league in passing. Julio Jones is leading the league in receiving. And Casey's leading the league in interception. And we're still 4-7.
Yeah.
So that's just what amazing. Is that we're wasting the whole year for nothing.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing with the things that that have been a positive that just have turned into so many negatives. But for me, the problem with winning out, going 9-7, the problem is there's so many teams that are close to 9-7 as well that you've lost games to or have done better in their divisions or conferences and stuff like that, to where that's what makes the 5-7% chance that they're going to make the playoffs is because you really need 3 or 4 teams to have an extended losing streak. But realistically, tonight everybody should be rooting on the Saints, because the Cowboys are one of those teams ahead of the Falcons that, the Falcons need a loss for. It's hard to root for the Saints, I know, but I mean, that's what's got to happen for, the Falcons to have chances to get in. But what's that, bud?
Cowboys winning right now, 13-0 at halftime.
Yeah. There was definitely, they were looking really good. I was checking out the stats while we were chatting. But do you guys think any coaching changes need to be made, Derek?
Me personally, nothing big. Obviously, no Dan Quinn firing. No, it's not time. It's not time for that. He still deserves some chances. I think we need to stick with Sark. I think we need to stick with him. We can't be changing Bills over there hype with the United, but we can't be changing OC again. I mean, we changed them over the years so many times, and I think we started to build a rhythm, and the offense has become a little consistent, but not to the point where we need it to be. But I think finishing off this year, we can finally get it together. And then by next year, they should be comfortable. Now, early, if it doesn't work early next year, then that's when you make the change. But I don't see any big time coaching changes happening this year. I mean, the injuries hurt us a lot. I mean, of course, injuries aren't not an excuse. This season could have definitely been on a positive note. Even with the injuries, we should have still been winning these games. But I think they're going to have another chance next year to show if they are going to do anything for the team.
Tushar, man, do you think any coaching changes need to be made?
I don't think so, because we just had a new defensive coordinator a year ago. And Stark is getting better on offense. It's just the too many injuries on defense is what's causing the problems. We can't stop nobody. So even if we score 37 points, but we give up 38, we're
going
to lose the game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's as far as the defensive side of things, it's hard to put any blame on the defensive side of things because, they do have the injuries on that side of the ball. Derek put it good where you can't use that as an excuse, though, because we saw – a complete game against the Redskins where what was the excuse then? We didn't have an excuse because we played a perfect game. So, that's where the problem lies. That's what when I get into discussions on Twitter about people that were so quick to blame injuries, and I'm like, so tell me what went right with the Redskins that now can't go right against, I didn't expect to win against the Saints, honestly, but, all falls back to the Cleveland game, which started this. But
we had a lot of chances that game, too.
Yeah, I mean. In
the beginning of the game, we had a lot of chances where we could have took control and had a momentum, and you never know what happens. But they just didn't take – they just – a lot of mistakes happened.
If they would have beat
– offense was a problem in the Cleveland game.
You know, even with the Cleveland loss, though, I think that if they would have pulled off the game against New Orleans, I honestly think they would have made the playoffs, because I thought that would have been the momentum changer that they would have needed to get in. But as soon as they went down, but Phil, what do you think, man? Do you think any coaching changes need to be made?
Nope. And let's get a little chant. Atlanta.
Oh, man.
Now y'all supposed to say United.
I ain't never been, so I don't know. I don't know their little ins and outs.
But anyway, we won.
Woo! Finally, something good happens. So,
but for sure, Dan Quinn is safe. I think OC is safe. DC, yeah, I know we've had all the injuries, but you know Arthur Blank, you know he wants nothing but the best. So.
I don't think Quinn's in trouble. I think that the boat is rocky for him for sure. But I think Sarkisian, that call is completely Matt Ryan's. If Matt Ryan does not feel comfortable with Sarkisian, I think Sarkisian's out. So I really do think that, you know, if he is fired, I think that that's completely on Matt Ryan not feeling comfortable with him. Defensively, not only have they had injuries, but I've seen players regress. The cornerback position has regressed horribly this year. So I think the defensive coordinator spot is going to be an open position after this year. Again, if it was just the safety position, if it was, you know, I think that, you know, I would say something different. But like I said, there's been too much regression. You know, Vic has regressed again this year. He's had a good last couple of weeks, but he's regressed, you know, horribly. You know, even Bruce Irvin's been a non-factor since he's been here. So, you know, that, I don't know if that's just because Bruce Irvin isn't good anymore or what, but, you know, I've been really disappointed in the defense as a whole. So I do think that that is going to be an open position at the end of the year, but let's get on to some happier news now. Let's move on to the Atlanta Braves making some big moves. Finally, let's spend some money. Two big free agent moves this week. Josh Donaldson, 1 year, $23 million. And Brian McCann back home, 1 year, $2 million. How big were these moves for the Braves, Phil?
If I can unmute myself, these were you know, they're very low risk, high reward moves. You know, I'm sure I haven't been on social media this week, but I'm sure a lot of people were upset because that likely means no Bryce Harper. But let's be honest, Atlanta was not going to open up their purses that big anyway.
We don't do deals like that in Atlanta. We never have. We never will.
These were two very safe moves. And let's see what Donaldson has. Can he regain form? If he does, you know, he could lead us to a World Series berth. I mean, look, it is what it is. You know, Atlanta was very young and overachieved next year. They should be better, even if they had the same exact team as last year. They should be better. They could be a 100-win team, a 95-100-win team with the same group from last year. Acuna is going to be better. All these will hopefully be better. You know, the pitching will be better. I would like to see them go out and maybe try to trade for a really high-level pitcher and a really high-level reliever. I don't know if Craig Kimbrell is still out there. I know a lot of people want him, but he too might be commanding a little too much money that Atlanta is not willing to spend. But at the end of the day, there are still moves to be made. It is still very early. We're not even into December yet.
No, this is great that, you know, you were able to get a guy like Donaldson this quick. But yeah. Tushar, man, do you think these were big moves?
Yeah, definitely, because, well, Nick Marquez was great, but you rather have Donaldson heading behind Friedman. And then you got Cunha getting off, and then Albies number two. That makes top five of your betting or lethal. Because you can't pitch around nobody, because the next guy will beat you.
Exactly. You know, the protection by Freeman, you said that point. To me, that's the biggest thing with having Josh Donaldson. You now have someone that can slide to the number four slot, not including who might be replacing Markakis. I don't think that Markakis is coming back unless it's a last minute. They just can't find anybody and he's willing to take a smaller deal to stay. But I just don't see that happening. We have Camargo now that we've signed Donaldson, who will now be able to move around to different positions. So we could always put him in the outfield as well. But to me, what was great about both of these moves was at their press conferences, both guys expressed their desire to want to be here in Atlanta. Brian McCann, especially, he came out and he said, look, I never entertained going anywhere but home. He said, this team is a championship team and I owe it to this city to come back here and help them win a championship. I love Brian McCann. I mean, the definition of gamer in baseball is Brian McCann. His intensity, his leadership, now that he's won a world championship with Houston, now he knows what it's like to win championships. And so he's going to be a great addition in the locker room. And Josh Donaldson could have gotten a multi-year deal. I heard that he was offered between 18 to 20 million in multi-year deals. But he really feels that he's worth 23 to 25 million a year. So he's willing to bet on himself with Atlanta for that 1 year, 23 million, prove to the Braves and hopefully get a bigger extension through them. Cause he too has always wanted to play for the Braves. He said that Ron Gant was his favorite player growing up. So he's always been a huge Braves fan, but, Phil put it good when he said that there's still some positions that need to be filled. Like I said, that one outfielder, I do think that they're going to trade for a starting pitcher. The names I've heard are Syndergaard, who I'd love to get. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but I would love to have Noah Syndergaard. Madison Bumgarner, who might be a good low-risk type pitcher to get. He hasn't had the stuff that, he's had previously, but, again, low risk. It's not going to cost us the farm for him. And then as far as a closer, the two names, obviously, Craig Kimbrell. I think he's going to price us out. I don't think he's given the hometown discount that Brian McCann's given. And Edwin Diaz was the other one I heard from the Mariners closer, who would be worth giving up prospects for, but it sounds like he's going to go in a deal with Robinson Cano to the New York Mets. So I just got a notification that said that deal is almost finalized. So that's another big name closer that's about to be off the board. So unless the Mets are willing to trade him here for some of our prospects who they've got a chance to see, I just can't see Diaz being an option anymore. But the other thing is AJ Minter was pretty good for us last year. So, I think with another year under his belt that he could also take over closing, and that's just someone in-house as a last minute thing. But I just can't see Athopoulos, not being a trade type of guy, because that's just who he is. So it'll be interesting to see if they do stand pat, make some deals or anything. The one thing that was kind of surprising to me about the Brian McCann thing real quick though was that they had a lot of interest in catcher for the Marlins, and the Marlins apparently were like asking for like a ridiculous amount of prospects for him. And so it makes me believe that they weren't willing to give up the farm, which I like. So let's keep these kids around. It's not worth giving up five guys for, one catcher, especially when you can, now have, matchups with McCann, now in the lineup. So, but you want to throw in anything, Derek? The big Braves fan you are?
Sounds good.
Yeah, we locked it up for you, huh? Yeah, you agree with everything? Mm-hmm. All right, man, let's go into some buy or sell then. Let's start with Coach Paul Johnson, man. That was pretty surprising news to me. I definitely didn't see that one coming. real quick, just a a quick story on that. Ken Wisenhunt of the Chargers, former coach of the Cardinals. Wasn't he the former head coach of the Cardinals?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that he is in Atlanta to interview for that job, and I know that he is a top guy. He's a former Georgia Tech player, so he'd love to. Sounds like he really wants his job. He's coming in for an interview, and I'm pretty certain that they're not going to let him leave. And that would be a huge get for them, because you've seen what he's done for Phillip Rivers' career the last 2 years in San Diego or Los Angeles. But, that would be a big pickup for them. But he will be retiring after this year, after compiling an 82-59 record over 11 years. Some sources seem to think that Paul Johnson was asked to retire or be fired. So buy or sell Coach Paul Johnson and his retirement, Phil?
I'm going to buy it, honestly. I think he might have just got a little tired, and it's not about him, the vibe he gives off. He just looks like this kind of been years in the making. It's probably just his personality, but his vibe just gives me a feeling of he just doesn't really want to be here anymore. I don't know. It's something about the guy.
Tushar, are you buying or selling this retirement?
I'm going to sell it. I think he was forced to step down because, let's face it, they've been sucking for the last 2 years.
Yeah. They just do enough every year. It's like every year I think he's going to be fired, and then they just do enough at the end of the year to get him into a bowl game. And then, so that kind of coasts him along. But Derek, buying or selling this retirement?
I'm going to sell. I mean, I'm assuming he probably got told it's time to go. So we're going to look for somebody else to bring in. And I mean, rightfully so. I mean, he's had a good career with them, and it was just time. It's starting to get a little old, and the playbook was starting to get a little old. He can only run 9 plays for so long. Uh-huh. So I think it was time, and they pushed him out a little bit and told him how it was going to be. So he just decided to retire. I wouldn't be surprised if he looked somewhere else, maybe, but I don't know.
You're coming to Kennesaw.
Yeah. Tushar, I got a quick question for you. Do you think any other coach would have done 82-59 with Georgia Tech in over 11 years?
I think so. Somebody could have done better.
The ACC is pretty weak, but I mean, I just – that's why
– They could do something. Somebody could do something better than 82-62.
Yeah. See, my thing is, for the first time in buy or sell, I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell.
Pick one.
I can't tell this time, because I'll tell you what, I covered the Duke game, Georgia Tech Duke. I went to that press conference, and I've seen a lot of Paul Johnson press conferences. I have never seen a more defeated Paul Johnson than I saw that day at that press conference, at that loss. He usually always is up front with things, and this was a game where they turned the ball over 5 times, multiple, one after the other, and he just honestly didn't have words, and he just couldn't explain anything. And so he looked defeated, and I kind of got the feeling that – the end may be near, but I also agree with Phil, though, where the triple option is just you can only do it so long before it is, people start adjusting to that. And, granted, it was great, but if you don't have the right personnel to run that offense and you're not able to recruit guys, the problem is that it's never going to work to bring you an ACC championship. And I think that the Georgia Tech board just finally realized that, just like Georgia did with Coach Mark Richt, that, yeah, are you going to be content only going to the, who gives a crap bowl, or are you finally ready to take the next step and, pose a challenge to Clemson? And I'll tell you right now, if Wisenhunt is the guy, ACC better watch out, because A, he's going to bring in a quarterback that can sling the ball all over the field, because, you saw what he did at Los Angeles, and how how awesome a season he's having there. So it would just be a really good pickup for them. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with that.
Are they going to be in a bowl game this year?
Yeah, they're bowl eligible.
We have 7 wins. Come on.
I didn't know. I wasn't sure. I didn't know.
Yeah, they got.
I know this.
They did the same thing that Georgia Tech always does: lose, but then win at the end to get yourself into a bowl game. I don't know what a 7-win, 5th-place ace, 4th-place ACC team bowl game plays in.
I thought they had 6 wins, but yeah.
I'm not sure, but I do know, like I said, they're going. He will coach the bowl game, and then he will retire afterwards. So let's go on to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi, with some shocking news, man. What's that?
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, whatever. Who's hosting the show here? You or me? I can't even get Derek's name right. How the heck am I going to get that one right? Anyways, he inked a multi-year deal to rep the new basketball sneaker for not Adidas, not Reebok, New Balance, leaving the Jordan brand for New Balance. So my buy or sell question, Derek, is buy or sell buying these New Balance sneakers?
I'm going to sell on that. I'm going to leave that to y'all. I'm going to leave that to you, Bob. That sounds like some stuff you were wearing. I'm going to go ahead and leave that to you. Kawhi trying to do his own thing. I mean, he wants to be a New Balance. He wants to play on his own team. He don't want to go join LeBron. He might even stay in Toronto after this. You don't know.
Yeah, it just shocked me. I never knew New Balance was ready to be a player in the game. That's for sure. But Phil, would you buy these?
Whoever's throwing that money, they're gonna go to.
No doubt, isn't that true? Because he was capped at with what the Jordan brand was willing to give him. They were not willing to extend that contract any more money whatsoever with him. So
it's not a polarizing figure, you know. He ain't gonna.
He isn't.
He ain't giving you that exposure like you want.
Yep. Especially now in Toronto, really. I mean, I would say other than Vince and Tracy McGrady, they haven't had a marketable star there in many, 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 many years. So, but Phil, are you buying or selling these New Balance sneakers?
Nah. They probably going to be plain and ugly too. I mean, come on, it's Kawhi Leonard. Like, what they going to have on them? They going to be what? Black with a little bit of red to look like Toronto. I don't know. What, are they going to put a maple leaf on them?
They're going to have his little hand logo that he has.
Yeah. Imagine them being very stylish or anything. You know, I'm no fashion guru. You know, I don't really care about none of that extra stuff. But at least I like looking good. So, you know.
Tisha, you buying or selling these sneakers, man?
I'm going to sell them. That's what I'm looking about that one. Nothing
else to say. You know what, man? I'm going to buy these things, man. I'm 40 years old.
I knew you were.
I'm 40 years old, and I'm cheap. And I think right now, I'm wearing a pair of Skechers. So I'm all about the cheap shoes. So, hey, if I could look like an NBA guy and get away with wearing New Balance in high school, I probably would have got my butt kicked if I ever wore New Balance. But, you know, I'm older now. I'm trying to be hip with the times. So put me in some New Balance. I'm willing to try out. I can't afford no Air Jordans or anything by Adidas. So, you know, this old man's going to buy those sneakers. I was willing to try out the Starberry sneakers. I'll try anything.
I did have those. I played what grade was I in? I was probably in elementary. I played basketball now.
That they were comfortable.
I could get multiple pairs. I could wear different ones each game. That's a better deal.
I think they were like you could get them for like $30, you know, or 25, 30 bucks.
I'm finding them cheaper, shoot. Because I remember I had like 3 pairs. My parents were cheap.
You're finding them in the black market for $15, huh? Yeah, I couldn't afford them at Walmart, so I went in the black market and got them for $15. All right, so let's move on to the next question. This one's near and dear to my heart here. A lot of people put the idea of Duke running the table and going undefeated out there, including a few select of us on this show.
Wasn't that you?
Yeah, that was me. I mean, go figure. Go figure. But at the Maui Invitational, my boys at Gonzaga took them to school. So, and they were taken down, though, by Gonzaga. So we're going to try to do something different here. Buy or sell the Gonzaga Bulldogs, Tushar?
I'm going to sell them. I mean, if they play Duke again, they're going to beat them again in the NCAA tournament. It was a one and done for them. Lucky day.
And they just Derek, you're buying or selling Gonzaga?
I mean, it's Gonzaga. I mean, I guess I'm gonna buy them. They seem like a solid team. They was getting. I mean, I haven't watched a lot of them besides that game. I think I watched another one at the beginning of the season.
But they play so late. You know, if they're usually games don't tip until 10:30, 11 o'clock here. So I usually have to catch the replays the next day. So
they just seem like a solid all around team. But I think going to Duke. I mean, they were playing in a high school gym type environment. I mean, I think it's good for them to lose now because I think in a tournament they're just going to dominate in a tournament. And I think they're going to lose a few more games too. They might lose to a couple more teams. Might go in there with like 3 L's or something. But I'm surprised to see them lose that game.
Phil, man, you buying or selling Gonzaga?
I'm going to sell them. You know, every year we try to hype them up, and then, you know, they just kind of fall flat. I don't know what it is, you know, because they play in that really, really weak conference. That's them. Yeah, that's the same thing we're talking about.
But they play in that really, really weak conference, but yet they're always in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 against the good teams. I mean,
like
you know what, though? I'm selling with you guys. Man. One thing about that game is getting to see Zion for the really first time and really watch him play. Man, that dude's a beast. Some of those blocks he made were just like disgusting. I was impressed. I do still think they're winning the national championship this year. I do think we could possibly see, well, depending on, you know, the brackets and stuff, but I do think we could see Gonzaga and Duke in a national championship rematch, especially because it doesn't seem like anybody really wants to run away with being the second best team in the NCAA. So Gonzaga definitely has a chance. I mean, it's nice to see them at number one, though. Being a Gonzaga fan, getting to see them play teams like Duke, it was really, really great for Coach K to recognize. Someone asked him in a press conference and said, hey, you know, do you think Mark Few, you know, should be, you know, mentioned in the top coaching jobs? And Coach K was like, at what point do you have to consider Gonzaga to be one of those premier coaching jobs when every single year he has them beating us, you know, going deep into the tournament? And so, you know, he said it's time to respect Gonzaga and the fact that this is a great job to have. And why would he leave something like that? So it was just great for a team like them that doesn't get a lot of mainstream notice because they do play late. So a lot of and they do play against a weaker division. So, you know, you're not going to stay up to watch the Gonzaga Loyola Marymount game. You know, it's just, you know, even I'm not staying up for that. So they just don't get the recognition. So this was great for them to have. So it'll be interesting. I'm like I said, I'm still sticking with Duke because I just think they're awesome. But let's end it on kind of something that, you know, near and dear to me. But this week is the 25th anniversary of Jimmy V's Don't Give Up speech. I'm sure we've all heard it. Have you guys all heard that speech at the ESPYs, the Don't Ever Give Up speech?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just iconic. So what I want to buy or sell, do you buy or sell Jimmy V's speech being one of the most iconic sports speeches, Phil?
Yeah, if we're talking sports speeches, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, when you see it don't matter how many times you've seen it, it's going to catch your attention for at least a few minutes before you change the channel.
It's amazing to me that it's been 25 years, you know, you youngsters, but to me, having watched it live And, you know, he, especially 25 years ago, was a polarizing figure, loved by everybody, especially loved in North Carolina at NC State, you know, bringing them their only, I think it's their only national championship. So just a beloved sports figure. And I think that had to do a lot with just his demeanor. He was such a friendly, joking around kind of guy. But Derek, man, buy or sell Jimmy V's speech?
Oh, definitely buy. I mean, it has the same impact on me every single time I see it every year. So just inspiration.
It is. I mean, and again, you're only seeing a little bit of the clip, not the whole, the whole entire speech. And just that little don't give up, don't ever give up, you know, is perfect for raising cancer research money. So you buying or selling, Tushar?
Yeah, I'm going to buy it because it is inspirational. Every time you listen to it, it gives you goosebumps. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna round it out. It's a definite buy for me. Again, when you can say stuff like, you know, just don't ever give up, you know, and you know exactly what that is coming from, you know, that to me makes it iconic. I would put it up there with Lou Gehrig when he retired, his speech there with the Yankees standing on the field is right up there with, you know, with iconic sports speeches. But this to me, like I said, every year, and I think a lot of it has to do too, because in our time, ESPN being such a big, you know, cable provider for sports, you know, and the fact that this was on the ESPYs and they do show it every year to raise, you know, cancer awareness is what makes it iconic. And I'm glad that every year they do recognize. But like I said, it's just hard to believe it's been 25 years. But so let's go ahead and end it for tonight. And Phil, throw out some shout outs, man.
Yeah, definitely shout out all of y'all on the site holding it down, or at least I think y'all holding it down. Y'all holding it down over there while I'm gone.
We're trying, man. We're trying. Tushar's holding it down.
Definitely appreciate that as I work through these final few weeks heading toward graduation. Definitely appreciate everybody. Thanks, everybody listening. Everybody supporting, everybody, you know, my Game Time Radio crew, shout out E and Ty, everybody affiliated with that and everybody who supports that, my friends and family, you know, right now, you know, my classmates we are all fighting to the finish line right here.
Are you done, man? I felt like we could have gone another hour here. All right, Derek, who are you shouting out, man? Yeah.
That's it. No words.
That's it, man. That's what you need. Tushar, man, got some shout outs?
I'm going to go with Redactor, Georgia. You know, we're going to win this is a championship game. And y'all see Saturday night. And then we'll talk about it afterwards.
I ain't good, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. If we lose, I'm not gonna be on the show next week.
Please lose. All right, man. I'm just gonna shout out. I definitely want to shout out Georgia because, you know, one thing about it is living here is I've grown to be a Georgia Bulldog fan. And, you know, I'm actually a student at University of Georgia now for real estate. So I there's a little bit of Bulldog in me now. So I'm definitely shouting out them. I want to shout out to Tushar for being on the show with us today, man. Oh, you did a fantastic
job. I got one more when you're done. I got one more.
Well, hold on, man. You had your hour. It's my turn here. No, I'm kidding. I want to shout out to Tushar. I want to shout out to the guys that on the ATL Sports HQ for holding it down because, like I said, Phil's been gone. I've been absent quite a bit this week. So, you know, you guys have been doing a really, really good job. And one last one, I want to shout out the listeners and Derek because we are now on all the major podcasting sites. So now you no longer just have to see our ugly mugs on YouTube. You can now just listen without seeing our ugly mugs on all those sites I mentioned earlier. So big shout out for Derek for getting that done. And then, you know, go on iTunes and rate us, please. We need 5-star ratings. If you want to give us 1-star, lie and give us 5. So we just need them 5-star ratings. All y'all listening at the site, better have them 5-star ratings up by tomorrow, or you're gonna hear from me and Phil. So
Hey, if I have to come on there before Wednesday.
All right, Phil, one last shout out. Come on now.
Yeah, shout out KSU football. You know, we in the second round FCS playoffs Saturday at 2:00. I hope to see y'all out there. I won't be there. It's gonna be raining. So
who are they playing again?
Oh man, it just slipped my head.
Who was it? Wofford. Yeah.
So this is like going the clean sweep here. Shari, you know who they're playing?
Wofford.
We're
playing Wofford.
Yeah, Wofford. That's it. Yeah, Wofford. Yeah, that was it. I knew it was something like that. No, I didn't. But anyways. Thanks for listening to the ATL Sports HQ live show, and we will see y'all next week.